Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 50 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Today, your host and the founder of thenerdcantina.com, Steve, and myself, Ken, will go over the weekly news. And what we're going to begin with is Stadia and all of its glory. We're going to go over some entertainment talk with a potential Joker sequel and some news around the Deadpool sequel. Then we're going to move into the tech space and discuss the Cybertruck unveiling. There's some legislation around your personal data and it no longer being allowed to be stored in Russia or China. Amazon has sued the Pentagon over their latest decision for their cloud computing contract. And after tech, we're going to talk over some space. And within the space news, we've got potentially some life on Mars, the latest in the Starship prototypes. All right, so there is a lot to get through. Let's get started, nerds.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, welcome back, nerds, to episode 50 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Now, I know, really, there's been a little more than 50, but still, it's a milestone to say that we're on episode 50.
Yeah, if you count the Fight Me Fridays and a few of the Patreon things that we've done, technically, we've done more than 50 recordings, but officially, episode 50, having a good time. Hope you guys enjoy it. We're going to keep it rolling.
Yeah, well, let's not linger there too long, and I guess just get straight away into the news. Well, first, I can say I saw a movie, which I almost never go see a movie.
What movie did you see?
I should go post my YouTube review of Frozen 2.
Actually, you should, because I'm not going to go see that. Layla, for some reason, she was like, nah, I'm straight, Daddy. Like, the next movie she wants to see that she's excited for is that Troll sequel, which I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of pumped for that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say Frozen 2. I mean, if you had kids and you have your guilty pleasure of enjoying the first Frozen, Frozen 2 is solid. I think it's better than the first one. At least the story's more interesting than the first one. It's
musical
it's
numbers good.
Not as good as the first had the catchy ones that like literally were on the radio. You know, yeah. That were nuts. This one, the songs maybe not as good as the first one, but the humor in it is good. They've got one song is just like a straight 80s power ballad. And they do like a corny music video in the middle of the movie, sung by Christoph. And it's like, it's great. Kids probably were bored out of their mind, not knowing why they're doing like these long drawn out fade outs of Christoph looking into the moonlight and whatever else. But
like this one's for the parents, kids, just hold tight.
the older parents definitely know what they were throwing at there. So it was entertaining though.
Yeah. Get on your shit, record a video, post it to YouTube, do the damn thing. I'm sure everyone doesn't want to see my ugly mug every day.
Potentially. I'm not committing to anything. All right, moving on. Well, let's get into the biggest part of the entertainment news, which was the Stadia. You know, at this point in time, I think everybody knows this. It was a mess. And if you're in any way interested in gaming or anything out there in the world, you have probably heard about the failures of Stadia.
So yeah, we've been talking about it for a while because cloud gaming is supposed to be the next evolution of video games. And, you know, theoretically, we've seen a lot of positives from it. No need to buy a $500 console, you know, game anywhere you want. Just bring your controller with you, hook up to a Wi-Fi network, pull up a Chrome browser, and just start gaming. The expectations they set for themselves must have been really fucking ambitious because, in actuality, I was pretty mad I got done with my unboxing. I'm going to do a YouTube video tonight, in detail and try to get that posted by today or tomorrow. But we'll give our quick thoughts on it right now.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, you know, you've got your thoughts on how it was working beginning with its release that, you know, you could pre-order it. You weren't guaranteed that you were even going to get yours on time. Like, you know, me and you bought ours within minutes of each other. Yours arrived on the day of release. Mine arrived 2 days later for no reason, just because that's how Google managed this, I guess. So you weren't guaranteed to get it. There were a lot of people who bought the Founders Editions, which one of the perks where you're supposed to have, you know, first dibs on gamer tags, on being able to reserve your gamer tag. You were going to get a code. There were thousands of people who were Founders Edition members that didn't receive their emails for codes until days into it. You know, I don't know how that affected people. Hopefully they still got close to the names that they wanted.
I'm a bougie ass dude. I'm not trying to have any numbers in my gamer tag. Like, I feel people that want that name locked down. It's important. It's your virtual identity, you know? So the fact that I've had my gamer tag for so long that I don't have to put my birth year afterwards or some shit like that is actually, I feel people on that. I'm with you guys.
Yeah. So a lot of people frustrated with that. And that was all, you know, that's all pre-gameplay. That's before you even try to play it. And then going into playing it, and, you know, I'm sure that's where your review is going to focus on YouTube, but across the board, people just saying it was completely unreliable and, you know, playing Tomb Raider and just falling off cliffs because all of a sudden...
Yeah, it's basically unplayable because the lag. I mean, first-person shooters, you don't have the smoothness of the sight. If you're playing Tomb Raider, I'm guessing it might freeze up on you at a point where you need to jump, and it's not going to pick up on it very well then. Yeah, I just... I loaded up Destiny. I went to the tower, and I couldn't even walk around the tower. You know, there were windows where it did run right for like a solid minute, and you could see the potential. Like it did run at 60 frames per second. I'm used to the 30 frames per second, so it did have like a smoothness to it that my Xbox doesn't often have. Like those windows where it ran like that were few and far between. Like you couldn't. I had it up for 10 minutes. And I was just like, yeah, no, fuck that. I only have a certain amount of gaming time in my nights. Like, I'm not going to waste that precious gaming time with a system that can't keep up, you know, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, I'm at a decision point myself where I have mine and it came and I left it in its plastic and I'm about to contact Google or whatever else and figure out what I can do just to, hey, just give me my refund. Cause yeah, the Founders Edition had some cool things. It came with a Chromecast, and there was a reason why we bought the Founders Edition. But in the end, I needed it to be a functioning gaming system that gave me some mobile capacity that maybe I could play it on the go, as I rarely have time just sitting at home to play. And if it's not going to be reliable and they're still working out bugs, well, the Founders Edition only came with 3 months of the monthly. So then what? 3 months from now, I'm supposed to decide whether I'm going to commit to it or just lose the $150 I've already paid. No, I think at this point in time, I might just have to pull the plug on the experiment, and I'll buy it later.
Once you got it, the day after you received it and you signed up, I think they must have got inundated with a bunch of complaints because they sent out this email that to me is borderline offensive. You know, like they sent out this email that says, all right, well, if you're going to play it, hook it up to an Ethernet cord. All right, well, I have a 50-foot Ethernet cord going through my crawl space to my Xbox. So now I need to run another one to my Chromecast now if I want to be able to game there. It's not realistic that everyone's going to hardwire in something that's hooked up behind their TV to the HDMI. So, okay, that's really not realistic. Everybody uses Wi-Fi. You know, even most people on their Xboxes use Wi-Fi. And then it says, okay, well, if you're going to go Wi-Fi, please put your Chromecast 1 foot away from your router. A fucking foot. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's not even a foot below my Chromecast and my TV. Like, you'd have to literally duct tape my router to the back of my TV because I have a 65-inch TV and it's about a foot and a half drop from the Chromecast to the bottom of my TV. Like, who the fuck? Like, oh my God.
It's laughable at that point in time because if you're only a foot away, then I guess the only reason why you don't have an Ethernet cable is just because
you're a
just
dick. Because you're a dick.
You just haven't ran to Walmart yet to go pick up an Ethernet cord. Like, you know, at that point in time, like the reason why somebody would choose Wi-Fi over Ethernet is because of distance from router. Is because it's not
because really I'm further than the 6 foot cord. I'm further than the 6 foot cord that comes with every electronic thing that I buy. Everything comes with a free 6 foot Ethernet cord. You know, like I got 15 of them laying around my house. You know, thirdly, it stated, "Do not let anybody stream video while you're playing." Like, okay, some people are gamers. They live by themselves. Like, they're like, that's a possibility. There's a higher percentage of people that would be able to do that. But I'm sorry, I got kids. I got a girl. Like, there's other people in this house that are going to want to watch Netflix, want to do shit. Are these three steps anywhere in the realistic capabilities of people who are buying this system? I'm now
comparing this to like the days of our childhood, like playing on AOL and fucking
dial up. Straight dial up.
Mom picks up the phone and it's like, Mom,
hang up, Mom.
Hang up, Mom. I'm on the internet.
I'm talking to another 14-year-old in Tennessee. I think she likes me. Yeah.
Now it's the same thing for Stadia. It's like, Ma, shut off the Netflix. Yeah. I'm playing Destiny.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's so unrealistic. So as you're already pulling the parachute to get out, I'm more curious as to kind of where this is going, because I've done a lot of betas, you know. So I've bought every Xbox the day of launch. None of these things launch perfectly, right? So I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that this is all launch day issues. They didn't do the proper beta testing. Things will roll out better. You can't, like, there even on the app, so you have to buy all your games from the mobile app. There's nothing that you get for free. So, like, there were supposed to be 20-some-odd games that came with your monthly Stadia Pass. Every game that you have access to now, you have to pay for. So, I basically have Destiny and this Samurai fighting game that came with it. Everything else is, like, NBA Live, Madden, Tomb Raider, $59.99. You know, buy it here. There's no, like, Xbox Game Pass games that I can claim and just play like an Overcooked or something, you know, like, which they advertised, you know, X amount of games on launch. Like,
yeah. And that's why, like I said, I have to pull the plug, get out of it now. Not because I hoped, honestly, that they figure this out. I do believe in cloud gaming. I do believe that this is hopefully the direction that gaming can go and get away from these console based games. But this isn't, I need a polished product. I'm not willing to deal with a beta. I'm not willing to deal with...
Yeah, and for every asshole right now that's just going, well, maybe it's your internet speed or maybe it's your router. Like, no, I have 450 meg landline speed. I have a Netgear Nighthawk router. Like, I got gaming shit. I got shit for gaming, and it ain't working.
Yeah, so I'll be paying attention to your reviews. Maybe I'll get back into it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get on YouTube tonight because I want to review the controller. There's some details about it. Like, it's not a total waste as of yet. You know, our initial reactions when we first watched that launch release where they shit on E3 a couple days before E3, it is nothing like what they said it was going to be, you know. So I'm, like I said, my curiosity is now peaked. I'm going to shit on it on my initial review, but I'm going to keep plugging away at it. Keep trying. I'm going to hardwire it. I'm going to put it, you know, do what they kind of say and see. Because if I hardwire it and it's still laggy, like, fuck your face, Google.
All right. Well, we'll move on from Stadia now. And let's go into some more entertainment news before we move into tech. And that's going to take us into just some talk around the Joker sequel. So, you know, it was reported by some credible news outlets or whatever else that there was a Joker sequel in the works by Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix. Todd Phillips later comes out and says, no, there's no contract in place. There's nothing. There is no sequel as of yet. But I think I think there probably is.
And you knew they were going to come out and deny it because they can't say yes to anything until it's in writing, right? Because they don't want to have to backtrack on, you know, it's like telling your kids, like, yeah, we're going to go to Disneyland. And then a week later, you know, you realize that, oh, shit, I ain't got no money. I can't take these kids to Disneyland. That's not a conversation you want to have with your kids later. So it's like the kind of same theory. You know, they're trying to plan it. You know that they're not going to have this movie make a billy and not try to capitalize on everything that it could be, you know, going into the future. So I do think that they might, especially if Joaquin is willing to do it, they may do something where Joaquin's not even involved in and take it down the route we've speculated in the past. Let's just leave it for as it is. Like, all the Uber entertainment speculation almost kind of gets on my nerves at a point.
Yeah, I think this one, you know, it if anybody thinks that they weren't going to make a sequel from this, I think you're a bit delusional. Again, it's the highest, as far as profit, it's the most profitable movie comic book realm ever, because it was such a low cost and it made over $1 billion in the box office. And being such a low entry, it's not like they were paying, you know, huge salaries, a huge CGI. It didn't have the budgets of like Endgame and stuff. So Endgame beat it in the total box office gross, but
not in profitability.
Joker is hands down the most profitable movie ever, and it still has a lot of room to breathe. And Todd Phillips and Joaquin, supposedly, like on set within the second week of shooting, they were talking about, yeah, we got to do a sequel. Like, this is they were already committed to the character and committed to the growth.
But there was also rumors that Joaquin said there's no way he would do a sequel.
So he said there's no way he would do a Batman movie. So they've both talked about doing another Joker movie. They've just said that they will not tie it into
which
Batman.
I think if you're going to do a Joker sequel, yeah, you do it in the era of where Batman is becoming Batman, so he never comes into contact with it. And then the last Joker movie that they make with Joaquin, Batman comes at the final credit scene, and that's the introduction to Joker and Batman, and leave it at that. I don't want, you know, I almost don't even want a sequel, because it was such an artistic movie. I don't want to cheapen that. I don't want to cheapen the nuance of the movie, the depth of it, don't ruin it with a cash grab. Because if the sequel flops, then it takes a little something away from the first one.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I foresee it happening. Hopefully they do it well and have a good direction where they're going to take it. And I'm all for them not tying it necessarily into Batman. Just do your own thing. But yeah, and then there's another sequel that's out there that, you know, has hit the news over the last couple of days, and that's where the director of Deadpool, Tim Miller, has left the franchise, and it's being reported that that's due to, you know, Ryan Reynolds' need or desire to be in control and not the director.
Okay, pal. okay. Sure.
Well, like, you're right, and Ryan Reynolds should be in control. Like, I don't know of another actor who is like. He is that character. Like, this.
Well, Ryan Reynolds is a producer on it, right? So he's putting up money for this shit, you know, and for him to say, like, a guy who's partially putting his name and his checkbook on the line should give me all free rein to do whatever I want. He shouldn't have any input, no matter how much he loves the character, no matter how integral he was to getting this green lit. And things like that. I should be king of the sandbox, and everyone should listen to me. Like, go find your buddy Ryan Johnson and go fucking stroke each other off with your fucking egos.
If the director has a problem with the fact that Ryan Reynolds, like, knows this character, knows exactly what people want to see from this character, like, this dude just lives in this costume, I think, in his own spare time. Like, he is Deadpool. He knows what's going to work. Yeah, if you got a problem with him being the one driving the direction of the franchise, then farewell. There's no shortage of directors.
Well, and he also said the same thing about James Cameron, that he'll never work with James Cameron again because of how much James Cameron wanted input on this latest Terminator. And it's James Cameron's fucking franchise, you dipshit. Like, no shit, James Cameron's going to want to have something to say. So, you know, a dude's only made two of the three top grossing fucking movies ever on a goddamn planet. Like, maybe he knows something about what audiences want. It's his baby. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, oh, I'm the director. I need total artistic license to do whatever I want. Yeah, no, we're not going to give you $400 million to go play with, pal. You're gonna walk this trail that we laid out for you, and you're going to fucking like it, and you're going to shut the fuck up. Like, let's be realistic here. Now, there are directors that you do give free rein on certain projects, but not Terminator and not fucking any Marvel properties. Like, that's not how it goes. We have other things in mind. We have visions that you have to adhere to. And I'm sorry, look what happened when they did that with the Star Wars franchise and just let some director. Yeah, go ahead, pal. Do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Do what you want. Do what you want. You know,
and we've even heard over the last week, you get where RJ was criticized, Ryan Johnson for the Star Wars. He was not necessarily criticized by the, you know, the current director. He was, but they were saying that, hey, he definitely did things differently than I would have done.
So the second YouTube video that I have to record tonight is I went and saw that Knives Out on Saturday, which is Rian Johnson's latest movie, the murder mystery. Fuck that dude. Fuck that dude.
That was one of the trailers that I saw during Joker, and I had no interest in that.
Yeah, I went and saw it. Well, because it doesn't come out till next week, I was able to get early screenings, you know. So anytime I can get an early screening and get a review out there before anybody gets a chance to go see it, I try to do that. You know, it's the reviewer in me that wants to get ahead of the gun and get my opinion out there. And yeah, I'll have a fun recording tonight on that one. Fucking Rian Johnson. And he even did the intro for the movie. Like he put his fucking ugly mug on a GoPro right before I had to watch this thing. I booed and hissed like our. I did. I booed and hissed. Everybody looked at me like an asshole because it was a Saturday night movie at like 7 o'clock, and I usually do like the Thursday nights at like 9. So there's no one in the theater when I usually go see my movies, and you know, so it was a chance for me to you know, go on a Saturday night and actually sit with an audience, and I definitely got mixed reactions with the boos and the hisses, but I stayed true to our show.
I could say that I'm raising my daughter to be a good moviegoer at Frozen 2, where at the end of the movie, when members of the audience started clapping, my daughter got her hands together one time thinking that she should also be clapping, and then I grabbed her hands and I said, "Who are you clapping for? Nobody can hear you."
Now let's go out front and shoot Santa in the face.
and then she started laughing. So she's I'm raising her right. Don't be one of those people. Yeah. Don't clap in the movie.
Bro, there's people clapping at the end of Knives Out, man. I just wanted to stand up and like yell to everybody like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Movie wasn't even fucking good." Like, what the fuck are you people doing?
Well, let's move out of entertainment and go to another event that it was a big event this week in the tech space, and it was the unveiling of the Cybertruck. And you know, leading up to the unveiling of the Cybertruck, earlier in the week, you had Ford release some details about an upcoming electric vehicle that they're doing, that electric, I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember the official name. It's Cybertruck to the internet now, so that's all it gets.
No, I'm talking about the Ford vehicle.
Oh, so the Ford. Well, it was a Mustang.
The Mach-E. Yeah, it's the Mach-E is what they're calling it. It's like a larger SUV type Mustang that Ford unveiled, and Elon was caught in the news only in the sense that all he did was send out a congratulatory tweet to them, just saying, "Hey, great work, guys."
Everyone thinks that it's supposed to be like this Ford Chevy rivalry now that Tesla's like Tesla's the front runner of electric vehicles, and they think that anybody else trying to make electric vehicles, he should look at as rivals, you know, in competition. And that's not why he made electric cars. He made electric cars because he's trying to save the goddamn planet, and he's trying to set a trend so that other companies make electric cars. So he's, and if anything, this just makes him feel like he's winning. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
he didn't make a simple, easy electric car to begin with. He made a sexy, sleek car to try to draw attention, to try to get other people to get buzz around electric vehicles, because he knew if he just had a Ford Focus electric vehicle, which would be easier to mass produce and roll out, people weren't going to get excited about it. So he created the Tesla. People got excited about it, and now it's driving the industry. People also forget that, you know, in 2014, when he was first kind of rolling these things out, he opened his patents up to all car manufacturers and said, "Openly use any of my technology as long as it's in the interest of creating electric vehicles. I have no problem with it. You can steal whatever technology we have." So Yeah, he's
honestly, I think it was just making a headline to try to be clickbaity. You know what I mean? No one's just going to report, you know, billionaire nice guy who makes electric cars is excited other people are making electric cars to save the planet. It's like, no, Elon Musk tweeted out about the new Mustang. Find out, like, we live in such a shitty day of how we get our news, hence why we do this podcast. So it was a big nothing story, but it is good to see, you know, the support in the electric community. You'd hope that other people would pick this up and feel the same way. Like, let's do something better for the planet. Let's get this going. And, you know, I'm kind of proud of the guy.
And the next step to, I guess, improve the planet is to come up with a truck that could hopefully replace some of these pickup trucks, replace these diesels that are out there and get an electric vehicle that can have the same towing capacity, the same power. And that was what the Cybertruck was supposed to be. And people didn't know what it was going to look like, what its capabilities were going to be. And that was what this unveil was supposed to be.
Didn't expect that.
It was a mess.
It was
a bit of a mess of a reveal down to... You know, the vehicle itself.
It's like a Mack truck fucked a DeLorean. And
yeah, it really looks, you know, almost like futuristic military stuff. It looks like what you should see, like, rolling around in the back of a Terminator movie when they're out in the future.
It's part Halo Warthog, part, like, yeah, rally truck. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's a wild look.
I'm not going to lie. I know a dude, so right now you could put $100 down. It only takes $100 to put a deposit down on one, and I do have a friend that put that hundo down. He wants it, like,
yeah. And I want to say it was like 114,000 pre-orders. Like, there's a lot of pre-orders that were done, so people are still going to buy this damn thing. And even though it looks like, you know, it doesn't look like a car that's going to be mass produced. It looks like, you know, the auto trade shows, these concept cars of what future cars are supposed to be. It definitely doesn't look like something that's going to be mass produced, but I mean, they're in the process. This is the Cybertruck, and it's, you know, this is Elon Musk doing Elon Musk things. He's going to kind of change the industry to some degree. You've also got the failure of the bulletproof glass or the shatterproof glass that shatters when they throw the metal balls at it.
So he set the bar a little higher for himself. The fact that you could throw like a giant weighted ball bearing and it didn't go through the glass. It didn't shatter the glass. It's, you know,
and
like
there's plenty of videos that they've released of, like, literally on that stage testing that glass before the event, just being like, all right, is this going to work? And it's just bouncing off like it's nothing. And for whatever reason, those throws in the moment shattered it. And some people have speculated that when they did the sledgehammer smash on the side of the door, that probably created like a fracture on the bottom of the glass inside the frame that then later...
Yeah,
cause the spider web or the cracking.
Either way, like, it's you throw a BB gun at a modern car, that glass shatters. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah, and
it's obviously durable.
And the fact that they did smash it with a sledgehammer, and there was not a visible dent or scratch or anything in the side of this truck, and it goes into, so I looked into a bit, and there's some articles and some other kind of places that talk about why the truck looks that way. And I think it's worth addressing because it's actually really cool. And it's, again, Elon trying to change the industry, that if you can get people to actually just understand and be okay with a vehicle that looks like this, it'll drastically reduce cost because you don't have to now mold the metal and press the metal and stamp the metal out and into these rounded shapes, these pretty...
Yeah, it's, you know, like a stealth bomber. Like, that thing is not being picked up on radar. That's for sure.
And it's for a reason, because the metal that he uses on this truck,
it's a new stainless steel, right? Yeah.
No, it's not a stainless steel. It's another type of iron that cannot be stamped. Like, if you tried to stamp it, it would break the machines, the modern machines that would actually press it into.
I thought
shape.
In the video he said it was a stainless steel they invented.
Okay, so yeah, it's not a traditional stainless steel that you're going to see. It's I think they called it 30X steel or whatever else. But it's incredibly durable. It is too strong to actually manufacture and to bend or to stamp out. That the vehicle itself, the external of that vehicle itself, is an extension of the frame. So, like, you could hook tow cables up to that actual sides of that truck or into the front of that truck, and it works as a frame. It's all just essentially just
the thing about. The thing I really liked about it is the tailgate folded down into a ramp itself. So like most people that buy pickup trucks, they have them for motorcycles, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, you know, a lot of tow capacity and things like that. And you end up spending anywhere from $200 to $600, $700 for custom ramps just to be able to push your shit into the back of your bed. And like, nah, this motherfucker just folded down, came right out. Like it's included in the vehicle. Like I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a kind of an innovative rolling tank at this point in time. But I think the idea of, you know, hey, if you can get people to buy off on trucks that look like that and stop making them pretty, you could drastically reduce costs. You can make it easier to manufacture.
Man, color it green and make it look like there's Master Chief driving when I roll up my window, and I am down, bro.
I guarantee I am down. You. One of those pre-orders, that's exactly what's going to happen to it.
Oh, yeah. Like
one of those pre-orders, there is definitely a red versus blue cosplay happening out of it.
Oh, for sure. Well, and that's the thing, too, is he said it is totally spec'd out for, like, rally. So it's the capabilities of this thing are going to be really interesting to see, once you see it, like, active on the road and people actually trying to beat the shit out of it. Some hillbilly motherfucker is going to go mudding. And I'm excited to kind of see how it does in that scenario.
And Tesla also released a video with where they hooked a cable up to a Ford frame and that truck and had the Cybertruck dragging the Ford F-150 uphill while the Ford F-150 was trying to drive the other direction. It just drug it straight uphill like it was in neutral. No big deal. And you know, Ford's probably thinking, hey, you just tweeted and congratulated us. You couldn't have grabbed a fucking Tacoma. Like you couldn't have gone and done something else here. Yeah. Whatever.
You know, shit on the Koreans, buddy. Like, what are you doing? No, it's interesting. Like you said, he's going to get criticism, but I don't think criticism bothers him. Like there's no way you design that and then you go through all the board meetings and you look at the pictures and you look at the first one before you bring it out on stage and you're just going, yeah, everyone's going to love this. Like, no, you knew, you knew, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. People have ugly babies. You still love them. Like, it's... Elon had an ugly baby. It's all good, bro.
And I honestly don't think he cares at all. Like, it is intentionally ugly. He thinks it's functionally ugly. And again, he's just trying to change the culture.
People
around
like all kinds of cars. I think are hideous. Like, I have no clue why anybody drives a Jeep. To be perfectly honest, like I've never seen a Jeep last long. I've only seen people complain about Jeeps, and it is from people that love Jeeps. Like they constantly break down. There's just these boxes. They look like shit. Like, but people love them. Like, so if that's your thing, that's your thing. If this Cybertruck's your thing, then that's your thing, man. Be happy. You only live once. Like, whatever makes you happy, go do that shiz.
But then a ridiculous thing that comes out of the Cybertruck event is that, of course, because then everybody loses their mind because I guess the glass broke. And so people are worried about the Cybertruck. So 6% of Tesla shares dropped the next day, which equals a $770 million hit on Elon Musk's net worth at the time.
And this is why I don't understand the economy.
This is why those people, that the 6% people who sold their stocks also don't understand. Like, nothing changed about the prospectus of this company. Nothing changed about the foundations of this company. The only thing that changed was a small rollout of a truck, whereas the vast majority of what they're selling is the actual Tesla Model S's and Model 3's and everything else they're selling. The fact that 6% of the shares, whoever you are that sold these shares, and if you think that this was a great idea, just stay out of the stock market. Yeah. You don't understand what you're doing. You are better off
buy gold staying bars. Away. Buy gold bars and bury them in your yard.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure, you know, even probably by the time that this thing airs, he's going to earn that $770 million back in his net worth. The stock's going to stabilize and go back where it was. People, are going to now buy it at that
dip. Yeah, wasn't there like up. A dip in Disney price or Disney stock when Disney Plus launched and it was going through all those minor technical issues? Like Disney stock dropped.
It did.
A couple hundred million. But people
it's already back over where it was.
But like you said, $770 million is a 6% drop. That's a nothing burger. You know, like if my entire net worth dropped 6%, you could have that 60 cents, pal. Like, I don't need it.
Well, I mean, it also highlights just how ridiculous Elon Musk's net worth is. There's only 770 million. That's 770 million of his total net worth. And Tesla is not the only place that he owns and where his net worth is held.
These numbers don't mean shit. Like you say 770 million and like, yeah, that's like one of the biggest lotto jackpots that you could possibly buy a ticket for. But to these dudes, it's nothing. It is nothing.
Yeah. Well, let's move on from the Cybertruck here and progress to the next story, which is the we talk a lot about data. We talk a lot about the cyber data, especially with our recent Cantina conversation from a couple of weeks ago. But we've now got a legislation proposed that will make it to where it's illegal to store data in Russia or China. So basically, the servers for these companies that monetize data or store data for monetary purposes, they're not allowed to store it through companies or that exist in Russia or China.
And I don't understand how this isn't like a no-brainer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Good? I don't... Yeah.
You know, like China's hacking us all the time. Let's just make it easy for them and put all the things that they're trying to hack us for in boxes in their own country. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So hopefully this goes through. I don't know where the opposition is going to come for this. You know, there's going to be some level of opposition, but hopefully it streamlines through pretty quickly and we find our data protected slightly. I mean, I still don't think it's going to have a significant impact.
I mean, you're not you can have malicious players in the United States, you know, but I think it's just a good idea to keep our data in servers in our own country protected by U.S. citizens. And I mean, even though those U.S. citizens are going to be shiesty sons of bitches themselves, I feel safer for some reason having the American dude be the dickhead that's ruining my life rather than the foreign dude that's going to try to ruin my life. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, me neither. But it does make sense. So let's let that happen. And then the next story then with we talked about it a couple weeks ago with that $10 billion contract for cloud computing that was awarded to Microsoft over Amazon. And even when we talked about and we covered it at the time, it was pretty well known that Amazon was well leading in winning that contract until some tweets from President Trump that really questioned whether Amazon was the right company to have something like this. And
well, he just doesn't like Bezos. You know, Bezos owns the Washington Post. Washington Post doesn't post many flattering articles about the man in charge. And he's the petty in chief. Like, I guess you could say, because that dude is uber petty when it comes to this shit. And he awarded the contract to Microsoft. Well, now you see Amazon fighting back with it.
Yeah, and so yeah, the Department of Defense awarded the contract to Microsoft, and now Amazon suing the Pentagon or Department of Defense.
I don't understand how this lawsuit works though. Like, I just don't understand how you get to sue. Like I go on estimates all the time, and people get other electrical estimates. I can't sue the customer for not picking my estimate over the other guy, even if our estimates were the same. We came in both kitchen remodels came in at $5,000. You know, why'd you choose the other guy? I'm gonna sue you. You should have chose me.
But there's a difference when you deal with the government. So the government has certain criteria that they have to follow in the acquisition process. There's certain pathways and certain benchmarks they have to hit. Even if you as an electrician bid out a job for a municipality, for a city entity or whatever it happens to be, if you felt there was some level of discrimination or undue influence that was not professional, you could sue them for not going through proper procedures. So it's similar in that regard. So that there's several lawsuits that are happening right now. It happens all the time through, you know, these major military contracting companies in the acquisition process that these suits do happen. And I think they're rarely won. I don't know the statistics on it, but they are rarely actually won because they have to prove.
Yeah, it's really hard to prove that shit. It's really hard.
But, you know, this is Amazon just sticking it to the government. I still find this shit weird, especially, you know, you look at Amazon. Do they really need this $10 billion contract? I mean, I think everybody knows that this $10 billion contract turns into a $100 billion quick in the sense that when this contract runs out, the government's not, cloud computing is not going away, and the government is going to be very reluctant to then roll over to a new company to roll over all their cloud computing. So whoever gets it now is going to pretty much have it in perpetuity. So it's more than $10 billion. But Amazon, pay some taxes and then let's talk.
Yeah, and it, like, you want to play the game, like, ante up, motherfucker. Ante up.
I think that's remember, that's it for just general tech news. We've got a bunch on the topics of space, and let's roll through them and see what sparks our interest here. So first one, we've got, there was some news this week about there being, that there currently is and there has been life on Mars. And this was a professor who's an entomologist, bug guy, who took some images and things, and he's been studying the, what's that rover? Is it the Discovery? I can't remember which rover it is, but on Mars, but he's been studying the images and he came across.
How do they not name that thing Red Rover? It's on the red planet. It's on fucking Mars. How do you not name that thing Red Rover just for the shits and gigs, you right? All right. Like,
we'll call it Red Rover. So Red Rover takes lots of images on Mars, and this entomologist, he's been looking at it and he's convinced now and been publishing articles about the fact that there's been life, and he's showing images where he's highlighting heads and thoraxes and bodies of insect-like items that look like, that he classifies them in like the same category as like bees, and they're about 20 inches long. And it's not like these are fossilized; these are live things that Mars rover. And I'm just gonna say bullshit.
I don't know,
bullshit.
You're gonna have to come with a little bit better than some pictures for me. I see clouds that look like dogs too. Does that mean anything?
And NASA's already said it's bullshit. NASA's already said, like, there is the entire scientific community from NASA believes that there is no way that water or life can exist in the current condition that Mars is at. So there's, the scientific community doesn't support this guy's thesis. I've watched some YouTube videos from alien conspiracy theorists that are 100% buying into this and 100% saying that, yep, this is just more proof that there's life on Mars and that NASA's concealing it from us. And I find those people to be out of their mind. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know much about how these things would develop, but why do we think that whatever's going to live on Mars, whatever else, is going to perfectly mimic what insects and shit look like here? Like, there was a whole lot of things that took place and adaptations that took place to have things look
it's
like.
It's our hubris. Like, we're humans. We are so like self-centered and so like self-absorbed that it has to be. You know, that's why all the green spacemen have limbs and
humanoids
eyes
and stuff.
And humanoids, like
who said walking on two legs is the fucking most efficient way of doing shit? Like, maybe
it's
that was 100% never what
it needed to be. It's 100% not. I want to say that there's been like scientific studies to where, like, if our knees bent the other way, like, we would run like 50 miles an hour. We'd be able to jump way faster. Like, we are not running at optimal efficiency right now, like, at all. So, to think that aliens are going to have any kind of human-like features or anything alien life is going to have anything that resembles what took millions of years to evolve on this planet, like, it's just a little selfish. It's, you know, it's narcissistic.
Yeah, so If you're interested, you can check out the articles at the show notes at thenerdcantina.com/show50. But again, you take it from our skeptical point of view. This entomologist is out of his mind. So next up is so we got Starship. We already talked about Elon and Tesla, and now we've got Starship. And the first prototype of Starship, it blew its top, doing some pressure tests, and the whole top of it has exploded. So
better now than later, motherfucker.
Yeah. So, and you know, some people think that this was a big deal, that this was a failure for Starship.
Yeah, like we're all supposed to do these things on one shots, right? Like invent something now and do it once and make it perfect the first time. Go, like, get the fuck out of here.
And it's in Starship's plan. I think it's not until Phase 4 or Mark 4 or Mark 5 that they're even going to try to do the first launches. Like the point of Mark 1 was to fail to some degree and to find flaws in the system. And you know, this one just happened to be catastrophic. But this goes into, you know, you look at the 6% dip in Tesla because Cybertruck was ugly. This is why Elon has said that he will never let SpaceX be a public company. This is why this is purely in his personal holdings, because he believes in space exploration beyond profitability and beyond the knee-jerk reaction of having to answer to shareholders. So he
that can't even conceive what it takes to do this shit.
So if this was a public company, he would have seen a 8% dip in shareholders or whatever else, because he blew the top on a Mark One project. Whereas this is in his personal holdings, and he probably was just clapping and laughing about the head of it blowing off.
When I was a kid, NASA shot a rocket up in the air, and that motherfucker blew up on live television and scarred. Like, I remember that shit, bro. Like, I remember that shit. You know, like, you can't be beholden to these things if you're gonna set out to do it. He's completely right. He has to just be able to say, no, this is something I'm doing. Fuck what you think. Fuck what you think. Fuck what any speculation. This is why I laugh at the stock market. It is people's whims. It is just how I feel today. Do I feel like this is going to make money? Oh, look, stock went up. Now I feel like it's not going to make money. Oh, stock went down. Like, it is based on all kinds of just people's feels, and people are dumb. Yeah. People are fucking dumb.
Yeah, and let's see. I mean, the pace at which they're moving through the Starship kind of experiments and testing, whatever else, is mind-blowing at how fast they're moving from iteration to iteration. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mark II's up in 30 days and on a launch pad, and they're improving from this original design, which by any other company standard, this would probably be a year setback. I think we're going to see Mark II real soon, and let's see what happens to that one. I'm sure it's going to also have its demise in some terrible fashion.
I think people that criticize like the companies like this by selling stock and stuff like that, you need to disclose, like, you know, well, yeah, I had an offer to buy Uber when Uber was starting. I passed on it. Like, so, like, you know, like, what other things did you have the foresight of getting in on? You know, like, so many people passed on Microsoft and Apple stock back in the 80s. And, you know, you have all these old timers like, if I'd have just gave that dude $1,000, I'd be a millionaire right now. Like, well, yeah, you didn't, asshole. And these same people got some money in the stock market, and now they think they know what's good. It's so frustrating. We have a mutual friend that's an economist, and I don't understand how he understands these things, and he has to dumb it down for me all the time on why I should give a shit about what the fucking Dow Jones or NASDAQ says.
You are really keyed in on the stock market thing right now. Like,
I feel like there's going to be a whole army of rich dummies that stifle innovation and stifle, you know, human advancement because they're, one, worried about their bottom line, and too fucking stupid to understand the long game that is involved in these kinds of projects.
Yeah, and it's part of the reason why public companies don't innovate. Public companies, they are beholden to shareholders, which is, I mean, if you want to be an innovative company, don't go public. Like, I mean, that's a part of it. You, the companies, when they choose to go public, that is one of their responsibilities from that point on, is shareholders' interest. So like I said, that's why it's great that Elon Musk is not jeopardizing SpaceX's ability to innovate in this industry, the space industry, by keeping it as a private holding, a private company.
Yeah, I'm a big Shark Tank fan, so I see this shit all the time, like how venture capitalism is, it's very cutthroat. And I get frustrated even at that show all the time, because I'll give you $100,000, which is nothing of money to me. You know, Mark Cuban's talking about risking $100,000. Like, are you risking it, Cuban? Like, really, Mark? Are you fucking telling me that you have a big risk by giving this dude $100,000? And in order to get that $100,000, I want to see 4 years of proven track record sales. I want to see this and that. A motherfucker can't just walk in with a good idea and be like, hey, man, like, I got a good idea. I'm trying to get this off the ground. I need this.
Nor should they.
Like, bullshit. Well, bullshit.
Well, we'll have this debate.
Bullshit.
You're ridiculous on that front. If you want money, you better fucking prove that you're going to get a good ROI on there. I don't care how much money you have.
There's no risk in it then. So what the fuck are where's the venture? You're just a capitalist. You're not taking any venture.
Like, I may not have billions, but if I give you a dollar, I better get a fucking ROI on that.
Yeah, well,
thing.
We all know how you like to hold on to your dollar. Like, this is not a thing. I don't ever see you being a venture capitalist at all, you know, but I do get frustrated when I watch that show and I see people with, like, good ideas, good solutions. They haven't taken it to market yet, or they've just taken it to market and they don't have, like, the proven sales, but these uber rich billionaires are hesitant to give this dude what to us would be pennies to just see if it works. Just see if it works. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where I feel is happening with, like, the Teslas. And, you know, as a United States government, we don't fund these kinds of companies anymore. I mean, just look what happened with Solyndra. We gave a solar company a little bit of money to try to boost solar activity in this country. The company failed, and now no one wants the government to ever invest in a private company ever again because fucking Solyndra. Look, we tried to make solar panels, didn't fucking work out. Yeah, well, you know how many things that we did fucking invest money in? Like, your Teflon fucking pan right now that you were cooking with, it was a goddamn government-funded fucking project. Every cordless drill I use at fucking work was a goddamn government-funded fucking project at some point. We have tons of things that we use every goddamn day that were innovated by public funds. You know, but because Solyndra failed, fuck that. Don't give any company a penny, no matter how much it'll make our lives better. Get the fuck out of here.
You are really dancing in too many directions for me to catch all these things here, going from venture capitalists to shareholder investments to public funding investments. Those are all drastically different things, and you're wrong on all of them.
Nah, shut the fuck up.
But I think we've steered far from our nerd topics, and let's get back on it for a final here topic, and really what we're within the space world. We still have one more topic, and this was that there was sugar found on some meteorites from billions of year old meteorites, ones that crashed in like the 60s, but those meteorites were billions of years old and there was sugar found on it. So if you're a spacehead, it's just kind of cool that you see that there's strong potential. There's always been theories that some of the building blocks of life, the building blocks of what we needed in order to create the environment and life here on this planet, that it very well could have been contributed by meteorites impacting Earth, which has been a long theory, difficult to ever prove or impossible to prove. And this just goes one step towards showing that it's actually possible.
Yeah, I love Neil deGrasse Tyson when he says, you know, you should be amazed by human life. We're all made of stardust. Like, the things that make up the universe are all inside of us, inside of this planet. And this just goes to show, you know, that the building blocks of life are surrounding us all, and in the lottery of events that happen to bring us to this point of humans even existing, let alone being able to just throw a couple bucks down and have a fucking podcast, is amazing. It's sheerly amazing. People look around all the time to look for miracles in life and things like that, and no one often just looks at you being here right now is one of the greatest miracles in the universe.
Yeah, I love listening when Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about this stuff, because he has such like a childlike fascination towards all of these things and mysticism that he recognizes as one of these incredibly brilliant individuals. So yeah, when he talks about this miracle that is life and how fascinating we all are. And
I think when you get that smart, it's almost easy to have that childlike wonder, because the more you understand about the world and the more you understand about its complexities, the more you can be amazed by it. Like, we're too dumb to know why we should be amazed at what's going on around us.
To understand all of the infinite amount of potential, you know, outcomes that could have just derailed this whole experiment of life on Earth, all these different things that could have happened that had to go perfectly right over billions of years in order for us to exist today. And it's like, we don't really necessarily understand, but somebody like him can 100% look at that and just say, you know, who knows how many life forms and stuff have come and gone in the time frame that it's taken us to exist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. I'm gonna bite my tongue on this one, because you have a large mass of people in this world that will gleefully tell you that none of that shit is real and that the Earth is only 6,000 years old. So I'm gonna leave that. I'm gonna table that for another discussion. I already went off on a rant today.
Oh wow, you're going after venture capitalists today, but not. Not
creationists.
Yeah, not creationists. Not really.
I pick my battles, man. Like, we're coming up on our hour. And if you want me unloading on creationists, that's going to be another 20 minutes.
All right. Well, we'll put that on the list for show 100. As we'll try not to alienate all of our potential fan base today. And so that rounds off all the topics that really I had, except for one, and that was one you sent me. As we continuously kind of talk at the end of shows about robots. So I've intentionally left the last topic. I sent that
to you right before we started recording. I wasn't sure if it was going to make it this week or next week, but
no. I like we talk about robots as our closing thing more often than not, I think.
So, robots are fun.
Might as well do it. We got a new robot, or really not the same robot, the Boston Dynamics Spot, the one that everybody's seen, that little yellow four-legged robot running around. Well, now they painted it black, made it a fucking SWAT bot, and the Massachusetts police are already using it in real life situations as an aid to policing.
Well, we've always had those bomb diffusing robots, right? That we send in with the slow claw, and
the little remote control Johnny Fives.
Yeah, this is the next evolution of those bomb diffusing bots, and you know, like I'm all for this, man. I really, you know. What didn't you just go into a Walmart and have your first encounter with a robot?
Yeah, I was gonna say I did see my first ever real life robot. It was yesterday, right? And I sent you the text.
I said, put that shit on Instagram. Like,
So I went to Walmart and I saw the first ever cleaning stacking robot that's got like 40 cameras all over this thing, and it stands about 6 feet tall and just strolling around. It's not like they really chose an aggressive time to test this robot out, because I'm talking about on a Sunday, Thanksgiving week, absolutely packed place, and this little robot just going around and tons of people just stopping and messing with it.
Did you want to kick it? Did you want to kick it?
Oh, I did want to kick it. I just wanted to see. I just wanted to see what it would say.
You're a piece of shit, too.
Just wanted to test it out. But instead, all I did was just walk up to it to take a picture. And it the second
you should have slapped
the
Nerd Cantina sticker on that motherfucker.
That's absolutely true. Next time I go, I'm bringing a pocket full of stickers.
Just palm that motherfucker, give it a slap on the ass as you walk by, and ride out like you never did it.
But no, it was just sweeping and cleaning the floors. It stopped every time a person or a cart walked near it. It just stopped, and it would move the second people got a couple feet away, and it just slowly worked itself around the store. So robots removing that was a teenager making minimum wage before.
Yep.
Fucking robots.
You know, and now we got cops, SWAT robots. Like, okay, here we go, guys. Here we go. The future is now. We're past Blade Runner date. Like, this is our lives.
Yeah, so this police robot, I think it's actually cool. If police need to go make forcible entry into places or to go to dangerous situations or whatever else, like, why not send the robot? Just send the robot. And, you know, even that spot can replace potentially, you know, depending on what kind of detection equipment and what kind of, you know, surveillance, and it's already got 360-degree cameras that are high-resolution cameras and stuff on it. You know, you could send that in place of an actual dog, of an actual
taser face, bro. I'm telling you, man. Fucking taser face.
Even though those robots are expensive, it's far cheaper than a human being injured, or a dog on a monetary level is cheaper, and then it's way cheaper as far as just the actual cost of the human cost, the human capital there. So they use them in dangerous situations, roll them out, let every patrol car have a robot that they can turn on and send in.
Man, they're gonna find out a way. They're gonna hit a button. It's gonna eject off the trunk. They're just gonna donut slide, you know, fishtail right into the crime scene. Hit the button. Thing's gonna shoot out the back. Start galloping. I'm down, man. Give me some movie shit.
All right. Well, now that's the last topic of the week. So, thanks again for joining us for another weekly news recap and for episode 50. And for the like three people who've been listening for 50 episodes, thank you.
You the real MVP. You the real MVP.
For sure. And then for those of you who've picked us up somewhere along our journey, hopefully you continue to enjoy what we're doing here. And you know, we continuously try to build upon these topics and have these conversations. So join us, celebrate our episode 50 over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join the Facebook group as we're still having great conversations and sharing these links and continuing to discuss these things throughout the week.
And don't forget to head over to our Patreon and slide that dollar right in that bucket right quick. Hook your boy up.
So that way he can invest in more companies with no actual business plan.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got a good idea. You got a good idea. I got a dollar.
Yep. And this is
fucking Squatty Potty. Fucking Squatty Potty made $1 million. Like, what the fuck, man?
All right. And that's with Squatty Potty there. That's it. That's it for us. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you, nerds.